Welcome or welcome back to Whores for Whore. I'm Mariah.
And I'm Kayla.
And this week is all about my case. Well, actually the next 2 weeks because it's a two-parter. All right, so just going straight in. So if you remember, a couple of weeks ago, we released a series on crimes that inspired movies. Well, little known fact, one of my favorite movies is the Scream movie, the original 1996. And I was gonna do that as a topic, but I needed more time than we had for research, so I did the Keddie Cabin murders or whatever topic. Yeah. I think it was Keddie Cabin.
That one was good, though.
Yeah, but now we get to do Scream. Okay.
I'm excited. I know nothing about it.
It's gonna be really rough.
Oh, good.
So the 1996 American slasher film Scream, also known as one of the greatest horror franchises of all time, and they're actually gonna release a fifth movie next year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What?
Is often credited with reviving the entire horror genre in the late 90s.
I believe that.
Yeah, because it combines like the traditional slasher film humor, but it also has characters that are self-aware and they're like conscious of all the horror movie tropes. It's just so good. I love it. So in 1996, it was one of the highest grossing films and became the highest grossing slasher film in the entire world until 2018 when the new Halloween was released.
I believe that. Those are both pretty solid movies.
Yeah. I think I watch Scream every year in October, and then I'll just go back to it. Like, if I'm like, oh, I just need a movie that I know and I need a little bit of comfort, I watch Scream even though it's about
comfort.
I know, even though it's about people getting murdered. So, yeah, fangirling moment over. Highly recommend if you've never watched the 1996 version. Kevin Williamson is actually the screenwriter for the franchise, and when he was asked what his inspiration was, he stated, quote, "I was watching Barbara Walters' special on the Gainesville murders, and I was getting so spooked. I was being scared out of my mind. During the commercial break, I heard a noise, and I had to go search the house. I went into the living room, and a window was open."
No.
"I'd been in the house for 2 days, and I'd never noticed the open window. So I got really scared, went into the kitchen, got a butcher knife, got on the mobile phone, and called a buddy of mine." The friends started asking Kevin about his favorite scary movies, and Williamson wrote out the opening scene for what would eventually become Scream that night, and 3 days later, he had the entire movie script.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
What's your favorite scary movie?
That's hilarious. That's a good friend.
That is a really... well, first of all, I'm like, he's calling his friend. Like, if I called you and I was like, Kayla, I'm terrified, and then you're just like, what's your favorite scary movie? I'd be like, what the fuck, bitch? I'd be like, let me call someone else.
I want to see where your nearest bat is.
Yeah. What is your nearest weapon? Okay.
Throw the cat.
Yeah. Danny Rowling, who is our topic for these next two episodes, has been dubbed the Gainesville Ripper. The Ripper is an American serial killer who murdered 8 people in single, double, or triple murder events between November of 1989 and August of 1990, with the majority of these murders happening over a period of just 4 days.
Okay, so he killed 1, 2, or 3 people at a time?
At a time. Like, wow. So he would do like 3 people here, 2 people here.
Okay, not related or anything, but like, was it in the same night or just over the course of a few? Okay, so like...
Well, it'd be like 2 people in one night, 3 people in one night, that kind
of
thing.
Okay, so it's like short bursts of like losing your mind.
Murders.
Okay. Yeah. I know the name, the Ripper, is supposed to scare you, but it doesn't scare me.
Well, this dude's a fucking douche, so you'll see.
I'm sure he is, but just whenever I hear a serial killer named something Ripper, I'm just like, okay.
Okay.
I'm numb to that name. I'm just like, okay, whatever.
So Danny Rowling would go on to blame most of these murders on an entity named Yanad, which is Danny spelled backwards. So, like, okay. Fucking original, bro.
Okay.
Or a demon called Gemini, which is a very obvious ripoff of The Exorcist 3. Idiot. So, it's going to be a rough series. This first episode is going to be the majority about Danny's life and then his very first, that we know of, murders. Just remember that no matter how mad or disgusted you get, Danny was caught and he paid with his life for these crimes.
Oh, really? Okay.
So, let's go. Like,
death penalty?
Death penalty, yeah.
Oh.
And which I'm not a big... Like, we've talked about this numerous times. I'm not a believer in the death penalty, but this is one of those cases where I'm just like, yeah, I understand why someone would want this person to die.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, this is going to be a fucking rodeo.
It's going to be a set. So get all your jokes out now, because all the joking stops.
Maybe. We'll see.
Yeah. Danny Rowling was born on May 26th, 1954, in Shreveport, Louisiana. And shockingly, he grew up in a shitty household.
No
way. Who would have thought?
Wow, I feel like there's a correlation there. It's almost like we should have children in nice homes.
It is crazy. So his father was named James, who was a Korean War veteran, and by all accounts, hated Danny.
Okay, well.
Yeah. When James was a child, the father... It is said that James witnessed his grandfather slit his own mother's throat at the kitchen table right in front of him.
I'm sorry, what?
Yep. So let's straight into it.
No TV while we're at dinner, but grandma can go.
Yep, yeah, let's
what
just...
What the fuck?
Yeah.
What? I'm traumatized.
Ugh. So Claudia, Danny's mother, became pregnant just months after the two got married. And this was not a part of James' life plan. And so the surprise actually forced him to take a job at an oil rig that he fucking hated to support the family.
What year was this?
54 is when Danny was born.
Pretty sure we had condoms. Just saying.
Honeymoon baby. And this caused James to resent Danny even before he was born.
Okay, well, that dude's just a terrible person, let alone a terrible father.
Oh, yeah. So, next line. Throughout the pregnancy, James would beat Claudia. He choked her, threw her downstairs, punched her, and kicked her. In one instance, Claudia went to the hospital claiming that James had tried to force her to cut her own wrist.
And I believe that without a doubt.
Uh-huh.
I believe that without a doubt. And let me guess, nobody believed her.
Oh, I actually don't know the follow-up to that. I know that she was, like, treated because she ended up cutting them a little bit, and she got treated and then went back to him. So Danny had a traumatic time in the womb, and even coming into the world could be described as traumatic. When he was being delivered, the doctor clamped a little bit too hard on his head with the forceps. You know, like the tong things that they used to pull babies out.
I'm not sure that we should be using cooking utensils to pull out a child.
Well, I think they use, like, vacuums now.
They do.
And this actually broke the veins in Danny's skull. Which, fun fact, this is also the same exact thing that happened to serial killer Haddon Clark when he was born.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, maybe I'll cover him.
But I feel like that's a problem.
Yeah.
What does that do?
Well, head traumas are actually linked to serial killers, like having a head trauma at a very young age. So Danny had one, you know, the moment he was born. Haddon Clark had one. Ted Bundy, John Wayne Gacy, like all the famous ones have had head injuries.
I was just thinking that if I had a child and it accidentally got a head injury, I would just be worried.
I'd be like, fuck it, gotta start
like,
over.
Distance myself from it. You're a serial killer, goodbye.
Yeah, I guess we gotta start over, bye.
Fucked up.
So once Danny was born, James moved on to beating both Danny and Claudia.
Oh, good. So that's good.
When Danny was only 1 year old and he was learning to crawl, he would kind of pull himself along on his butt with one leg out in front of him. Like, kids do that. I mean, it's like maybe not the best development process, but kids do that. And so this infuriated his father, so James threw Danny down the hallway so hard he bounced off the walls.
What?
Yay!
What? Why is he mad about that?
He's a very strict father, as we'll learn. And so he's probably like, oh, this isn't, the kid isn't fucking learning, and threw him down the hallway. Which, how is the kid going to learn by you throwing him down the hallway?
I wouldn't learn if I got bounced off a fucking wall at one. Also, it's not cool for you to, it's not healthy or okay in either way for you to take out your anger on your child.
On a child who's 1 year old at this point.
In any way, yeah.
Yeah, at any child at any age. So the next year, Claudia got pregnant with another child who was named Kevin. But according to Kevin, he wasn't beaten like Danny. But Kevin has also admitted to blocking out his entire childhood and has no idea what happened during those times.
He got
Which
beat.
Is like, you obviously got beat, bro.
Yeah.
You had a very rough childhood.
Or maybe another scene like freaking grandma at the dinner table happened.
Yeah.
What the
And I'm it was still... just so traumatic that your brain, in order to protect you, just blocked it out.
Yeah. I think I'm going to block out this episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a doozy. So all three, Claudia, Kevin, and Danny, suffered horrible abuse, such as beatings if they didn't hold their forks correctly, if they didn't sit properly at the dinner table.
I would tell you how to hold that fork, sir.
And if they didn't breathe a certain way. You have two boys. I'm sorry. They're not going to listen to you at all. But you want them to breathe a certain way?
What way?
Exactly. How?
Give me the rundown on how I'm supposed to breathe, because I guarantee you I'm not doing it.
What is the what is the correct way to breathe for you, Mr. But James?
Yeah. Beat me because I'm not holding my fork properly, and I'm going to stick it in your eye.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then I'm going to cringe because that is gross.
Yeah, and then you pull it out and it's just the eyeball.
I'm not pulling it out. Mm-hmm. You can have it. It's part of you now. Yeah, I'm not pulling that out.
James would make them hold their breath until they turned blue, beat them with his fist, his belt, or
breathing.
Anything else he could find until they pissed themselves, and he would beat them harder if they cried.
This dude is definitely dead now, right?
Actually, I don't know, but a really, not a fun thing, but he gets his in the end. And
oh, he better.
Trigger warning for pet lovers here.
No.
When Danny was 5, James Mm-mm. brought home a puppy, nope. and both the boys, you know, in particular, Danny, were said to have been in love with this dog. Well, James would beat the puppy regularly and beat it so bad on one instance that it died in Danny's arms when he was 5.
How to make a serial killer child 101.
101, yeah.
Anything with animal abuse.
Yep. Head trauma, beat the shit out of him, and animal abuse.
How to infuriate Kayla 101. Talk about animal abuse. I really...
They're just so
innocent.
My anger is
going to get the best of me in this one.
Yeah. Well, okay, so moving on to that, moving away from that.
Yeah.
Over the years, Claudia tried numerous times to leave James, but as we've spoken about numerous times on this podcast, leaving an abusive relationship is a lot easier said than done.
Yeah.
The victims often have no money, just as Claudia didn't. They've been separated from their friends and family, just as Claudia, and they've been so brainwashed into believing that they're nothing without their abuser, just
as
Claudia.
And a lot of times, most of their shit is taken away.
Yep. On one instance, when Danny was 4 and Kevin was 3, Claudia left James and they moved to Columbus, Georgia. Columbus, Georgia, yes.
Okay.
She and James had been arguing because he kept turning off the TV while she was watching it. I'm just like...
I'm going to throw that remote at
your
head. You're
trying to argue.
Like, he's being an asshole, yeah.
Yeah. The argument ended when James punched Claudia in the face and split her lip open. The two remained separated for 6 months, which is like, that's a really long time. Good on you.
Yeah.
But James came back into her life saying that he would change his behavior, spoke how much he loved her and the boys, and that he would never hit them ever again. Obviously, the behavior didn't change.
Yeah.
So, in addition to all the abuse that I spoke about, you know, earlier, in addition, when Danny was 5 years old, he dented his forehead on a concrete step, which had trauma once again. was molested by a visiting relative when he was 9, physically prevented his own mother, Claudia, from slitting her wrists in the family bathroom when he was 11. And when Danny was 15, he slit his own wrist and wrote on the mirror in his mother's lipstick, quote, "I tried, I just can't make it." Obviously, he survived.
Yeah, that also doesn't surprise me either, actually.
15. Oh, my God. And again,
he watched his grandmother die at the kitchen table?
That's James. That's Danny's father. But Danny stopped his own mother from slitting her wrist.
Oh, now I understand James.
Yeah, James is fucked up. But it's like, how can you just pass that trauma on to your own children?
But they do, because they don't. Like, even if he's fully aware that he shouldn't be doing that, it's
like ingrained in them.
Yeah, he needs therapy to, like, correct what he's been shown is normal, and it's not fucking normal.
Yeah, to deal with all that shit. Yeah, it's, I just couldn't imagine, like, passing that on to my own kid, you know?
Yeah, I'm not defending him at all. That dude's a fucking...
No, yeah, he's fucked up.
Insert anything.
And the tales of abuse didn't come from just Danny or Claudia. Agnes, who is Claudia's sister, testified that the family stayed for 6 months with her. And multiple times she found the boys bound with ropes by their own father. So he was literally tying the boys up and putting them in a room. And
I feel like that's a theme that's going to come back.
Well, and at this time, Danny's father had become a police officer.
Oh.
Yep.
Good.
And anytime.
That's a police officer I want.
Yep. And anytime Agnes tried to report the abuse to the police, the reports would mysteriously disappear.
Oh, that's convenient.
But you'll be really happy to hear that James's fellow cop said that James was, quote, a great guy and would never do anything like that.
Oh my God. Where'd you get that information? Is it just coming from your gut? Do you just have this great feeling?
He's a great guy, guys.
You know, a sociopath could pretend to be the greatest person on earth, right? I feel like the standard, at least back then, maybe a little bit now, is that if you're a sociopath, like, yeah, become a cop.
Yeah, and then just convince, like, just be a nice human being for 8 hours, and then all of a sudden nobody will believe the victim that you're abusing. Yeah. Because they've only seen great things from you.
That's what they want. Also, just a side note, for anyone who thinks that I hate cops, I don't. I've known a lot of really great cops.
But there's enough bad apples that it taints the whole barrel. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I do just want to say, like, we're focusing really hard on Danny's life in the beginning so that you understand his life. And
so that you're conflicted later.
Yeah. Well, so here's the thing. And, we've talked about this before. I feel really bad for this child, Danny's childhood. So sad. But the dude who goes on to murder 8 people, you can fuck off.
Yeah.
Like, you're not the only one who was abused in this manner, and the others didn't go on and murder 8 people.
Well, the ones we've covered have, but...
Yeah. But there's good ones out there. There's a lot more good ones than bad ones.
Yeah.
Like, they become fucking Olympians or President of the United States or whatever. Like, they don't go murder people, so...
Maybe we should do a side episode of, like, a few people who have been traumatized and gone on to do wonderful things.
And became great citizens, yeah. So, sadly, a defense mechanism by Danny was to side with his father, even though his father was the abuser.
Yeah, but he probably thinks that if he sides with him, he'll win some favor.
Yeah.
And he'll be protected. Yeah.
And it's a defense mechanism that we've seen over and over. Like, this isn't, just solely Danny. The victims do this often. And it's even, like, it can be similar to how domestic abuse victims go back to the abuser.
Yeah. I feel like it's almost kind of like Stockholm Syndrome, too.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like that's why it comes about. Mm-hmm. It's just a defense.
Okay. Oh, he's hitting me because he loves me. No, bitch, he don't fucking love you.
Okay, I killed you because I love you.
So Danny desperately sought for his... Danny desperately sought his father's approval and despised his mother for her perceived weakness because she failed to protect not only herself, but also her children.
That's not fair.
That is not fair at all. That's not fair. And luckily, in 2021, we're, quote, woke on this stuff, and we understand the brainwashing that goes into this, and that it's not just a black and white situation, you know? This hatred for his mother eventually became hatred for women and would come out in horrific ways.
Wow, I didn't see that one coming.
Oh my God, it's thanks, almost like James, that happens a lot.
You created a monster. Okay, but, and I understand at some point in your life, as you're growing up, being mad at your mom for this, like, I can understand being mad at her.
Mm-hmm,
you can't hate her, and you can't blame her. And you definitely can't blame the lady down the block.
Yeah.
Come on.
As a teen, Danny often found solace in music. He dreamed of becoming a country music star and would often write and play songs with his guitar that he got as a Christmas gift when he was 15.
Who gave him that?
His mother and his father. Mm. Yeah, so there are, you know.
Mommy gave you a guitar and now you're going to go.
Well, oh God. I should find, okay, next episode before we start, I'll play some music that he wrote just to get his, so you can get the full picture because it's fucking horrible.
I didn't think it would.
But also around this time, Danny began escalating. He would run around the neighborhood, peering into people's windows and peeping on women, just like Ted Bundy, Jerry Brudos, and countless others before him.
If you hate women, why are you looking at them?
Yeah, I thought you hated them.
It's probably like the progression to him hating them.
Yeah.
Like, he's curious, he looks in, and then, like, he's probably disgusted with himself, and then he turns it on them, I bet.
And then he's like, oh, that bitch, like, she hates me. She screamed when she saw me looking at her. How dare she? Oh, God, I fucking hate these people. Patriarchy people, tear it down. Women aren't even safe changing in their own homes. Oh, God. Yeah. Now I'm raging. So when Danny was 17 years old, he enlisted in the United States Air Force.
Ooh.
Which is also another common theme, where they enlist in the military, which is weird. But so, then it also makes sense, because I'm like, oh yeah, there was a lot of dirtbags, huh?
Yeah, there are quite a few. But I think it's a 50-50 on maybe they're looking for structure and to, like, change your life. But
and a way out.
It depends on your, I guess it depends on your personality, really, because there are a lot of dirtbags in the military. Not necessarily, like...
Not ones that go on to be serial killers, but...
Yeah. I was going to say murdery, rapey types, but... the rapey ones are still there.
Yeah, they're still prevalent.
So, yeah, it's really... Depending... If you have a susceptible personality, which he probably does, since he sides with his father now, it's not going to go well for him. He's just going to fall into the wrong crowd and probably really fuck up his life.
Well, he was very quickly dishonorably discharged for disobeying orders, hoarding drugs in his bunk, and stealing, then wrecking a bike into the back of a military truck.
Oh, that's expensive.
You're an idiot.
And that's, I think, actually why. The last one's why.
Yeah.
Dishonorably discharged, because it was too expensive.
I think that It was less than a 2-year time span of him enlisting and then getting kicked out. So he wasn't in for very long.
Basic didn't, like...
straighten you out? What the fuck?
Right?
Okay, listen. Basic scared the shit out of me. I was the Basic kind of person... I was like, I'm going to do whatever you say. You want me to jump? I'm going to jump. Like, whatever. And so
when you insult me, I'm just like, yes, exactly.
You're right.
Yes. Because yes, we're brainwashed. I am a piece of shit. You are correct. Thank you for pointing that out. I'm going to go correct it right now. Yeah, and then I'd walk back to my bunk and I'd be like, that fucking piece of shit.
We definitely fell into the brainwashing. But, like, even people that were in my basic training, we were artillery, so we were called a battery. But people even in my battery, I was like, how the fuck are you back talking the drill sergeants right now? Like, oh my God, I'm going to go away.
And I loved mail call because I was like, my grandmother messaged me, let me see. But I hated it at the same time because sometimes they'd make you, like, do stupid shit.
Yeah, we used to have to do push-ups for each letter. It was 10 push-ups for each letter. I was like, ugh. bitches, but now I'm really good at push-ups.
They would always put, like, all their letters in one.
Oh, my
so
God.
So we had to do 10.
Oh, God.
It was just, like, letter, letter, letter.
So following his dishonorable discharge, Danny then moved back in with his parents in Shreveport, Louisiana, where his father continued his abuse.
Okay, well, consistency is key.
To cope, Danny turned to drugs, alcohol, and religion, interestingly.
Okay. You know, and to each his own. Okay.
Yeah, whatever. He began attending King's Temple United Pentecostal Church, where he joined the choir and played the guitar.
But I also feel like his hatred towards women is only going to be, like, fueled by this church.
By the religious thing? Well, it... So after he became active in the church, he did have a somewhat normal life for a couple of years. So he stopped abusing drugs and alcohol. And when he was 20, he met a woman named O'Mather at a church social.
Oh.
O'Mather was described as a petite woman with dark brown hair who was very religious. So she really believed in the shit they were spouting.
Okay, O'Mather.
After just 4 months of knowing each other, the two got married.
Okay.
But unfortunately, Danny obviously didn't have the best role models on how marriage is supposed to work.
Yeah.
Months into their marriage, O'Mather got pregnant with their daughter, and instead of stepping up, Danny began drinking again, using drugs, and he got caught peeping on numerous women in the neighborhood.
I bet you he got scared because of his childhood.
Yeah, he was probably just like, oh, like, I'm gonna fuck her up. Like, what the fuck? And then...
And I bet you he knew that his mother and father got pregnant a few months in with him.
Yeah.
And he's, like, seeing the similarities. I bet you he got scared.
Oh, yeah.
Not
he's probably
that he
like,
should, you know,
history's repeating itself.
Yeah. He probably got really scared.
Mm-hmm. In 1976, he abandoned the family for a full month. They had no idea where the fuck he was or what he was doing, and we don't know. There's nothing about that time. And in 1977, O'Mather filed for divorce after Danny threatened her with a shotgun.
That'll do it.
I would very quickly file for divorce. And I didn't write it down, but I'd read that Danny was, like, drunk and high, and he came in, and he was just like, I love you so much. Like, if you ever fucking leave me, I'll blow your brains out, and, like, pointed the gun at her. And she said, deuces, honey.
Yeah, it adds a whole different element when you come in drunk and high with a shotgun.
Yeah. If he came in drunk and high, I would just be like, all right, let's go to, let's go to rehab. Like, we can mend this. You need to be fixed. But the moment you threaten me with a gun...
Yeah.
So following their divorce, Danny obviously lost their daughter in the custody hearing, clearly.
Wow.
I'm shocked. Color me shocked. Danny became a, quote, drifter and began using drugs and alcohol daily. So Danny started with committing armed robberies in Alabama, Louisiana, and Georgia from 1979 to 1988.
Well, that's a good start.
Right, straight into it, my guy.
He really likes those guns.
Uh-huh. So the first time he was caught was when he was leaving a Winn-Dixie supermarket in Columbus, Georgia.
Winn-Dixie is the shit.
I've never been to a Winn-Dixie.
They're gone now.
I think
they're only in Canada now.
Oh,
I could be wrong about that.
Oh, yeah, you're from the South. You know all about them Winn-Dixies.
Winn-Dixie was the shit. There was a movie called Winn-Dixie, and it was adorable.
Wasn't it about a dog?
Watch it. Yeah.
I think I've seen it.
It was really cute.
Yeah, I think that's how I know the name Winn-Dixie.
Yeah. Food Lion bought out Winn-Dixie, but Food Lion sucks.
Aw.
Anyway, there's your grocery news.
So at this robbery, Danny only stole $956 and was sentenced to 6 years in prison. So, like, was it worth it, my guy?
But what year was it?
I'm actually not sure, but he was paroled in 84, so sometime between 79 and 84.
So it's probably a good $5,000, maybe?
Equivalent. Oh, yeah. Let's look it up. Let's just say 73. Oh, wait, let's just say 83. No, 80.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Oh, it's worth over $3,000 today. Which is still, I mean, That's a lot of money, but that's not a lot of money to be sentenced to 6 years to prison for. Danny was paroled in 1984 and moved back in with his parents, which is just like, nice, that's where you need to go.
Nice.
While there was a neighbor named Gary Flowers. This is funny. That remembered Danny would jog up and down the street carrying a log across his shoulders while dressed up as Rambo.
Well, I mean, he was in the military.
Dressed up as fucking Rambo, my guy. But what? Idiot.
What do you mean dressed up as Rambo? Wasn't he just in his military shit?
I don't know what Rambo wears.
I think he just wears BDU pants, right?
Okay, another hot topic. It is weird as fuck when people are just out living their normal lives and they're wearing like the military bottoms or like the top. I'm like, what are you doing? And especially when you see it in fashion, like a lot of the overcoats are in fashion right now.
Okay, that. And then let me tell you, there's a store that I went to the other day at West County Mall. And I don't even remember the name of the store. It was some new store that I walked in and they had the cutest pants. It was American Eagle, actually.
Were they military? I can't do anything. Yes, I can't not do anything camo.
And I usually agree with you, but those pants were cute as fuck. And I did a double take and I went, I'm not buying these fucking pants. Move.
It just feels so weird. And when I see people, I'm like, what are you doing?
But because they were BDU patterned, I was so tempted because the BDUs were so much more comfortable than the ACUs.
God, it's just still weird.
The BDUs were so comfortable.
So within months of coming back home, Danny... do you have Rambo?
It's just BDU pants and a tank top.
That is so ugly.
He was just wearing his military uniform with a tank top.
Dressed up as Rambo. So within months of being paroled and coming back to Shreveport, Danny left Shreveport. He actually went hitchhiking across the country and embarked on yet another crime spree. He robbed a Kroger in Mississippi while wearing a ski mask.
Kroger? Wow.
And then he broke into a house where he ate bananas and yogurt and stole the family car.
I bet you that was expensive back then, the bananas and yogurt.
Which comes back because he eats at the victim's homes.
Wait, and is that just like his go-to?
Yeah, it's like one of his MO things. No one was home in this case, luckily.
Was he never allowed to have, like, potassium and dairy as a child?
Maybe that's it. Well, he wouldn't eat only bananas and yogurt, but he would, like, eat stuff out of
there. Is there a deficiency? We're like...
So Danny was quickly arrested, he was quickly stopped for driving erratically and was arrested for grand larceny and armed robbery after the cops found the ski mask in the passenger seat next to him. They were like, bro, you obviously robbed that Kroger. And he was like, yeah, I robbed it. Like, idiot.
Put it under the seat at least.
Yeah, exactly. Or in your fucking pocket. I don't know. Somewhere where they can't immediately see it and then be like, driving fast. Sorry.
Yeah, it's not like a Jason mask or anything. Is that the right one? What? I always get them confused.
Hey, whatever. Me too. Okay. He pled guilty in 1986, but he came up with an excellent alternative to jail.
Oh, yeah?
He told his lawyers, quote, I know I did wrong, and like I said, I am so sorry, but instead of going to jail, couldn't I just have my hands cut off, and then I wouldn't be able to steal anymore, end quote.
No, he didn't. Did he really say that?
Swear to God, yeah. And the judge was like, the fuck?
Did they not like go,
you're a psychopath
just because of that? Yeah, just because of that comment. Didn't they why wouldn't they just like say, oh, go to therapy, like, yeah, you obviously need it,
come here, let's go see the psychologist, sweetie. No, I'm
let's
sure
talk about why you want your hands cut off. There was a bigger reason.
Exactly. In 1986, though, they were probably like, hee hee hee, no, and then they moved on.
Wow.
And so, just before the sentencing phase for, you know, this violation, Danny shaved off all the hair on his head to include his eyebrows in order to, quote, clean up his image. What the
you
fuck?
You cleaned up all right.
What are you doing, my guy?
You know, people shave their eyebrows today.
Yeah, for more like a fashion statement. But if I was trying to clean up my image, I don't think I'd shave off my eyebrows the day before sentencing.
Yeah, some of them shave off their eyebrows and then like...
Oh, draw them
back on, yeah. Because it's easier to do it without the hair.
I can see
that. Or so I've been told, because I can't draw my eyebrows at all, so. Somebody help me.
Help me. obviously, he didn't clean up well enough because he was sentenced to 15 years in prison.
I'll bet that if you come in with no eyebrows, I am sentencing you.
After you ask them to cut off your hands, I'm sure the judge is like, oh my God.
The judge is like, he is going through a midlife crisis. We need to hold on to him.
We need to give him the maximum, please. But you'll be glad to know that just after 3 years, Danny was deemed no longer a threat and was paroled. He once again moved back to Shreveport with his parents, where his father continued to call him a massive piece of shit, and Danny resumed his Rambo and peeping routine.
Should be one of those stupid weird movies.
But this time he added a little twist. Instead of peeping on just women, he would now peep on entire families. And he became infatuated with a family called the Grissoms.
I don't like it.
Me neither.
I don't like where this is heading.
For days, if not weeks, Danny would sneak up to the house at dawn and watch them as they interacted with each other and got ready for the day.
Okay, so that should have been your self-induced therapy there.
Yeah, you're like, oh, look at this normal-ass family. Damn, my life sucks. And then you go home.
And then you, like, you look at this normal-ass family and you understand that they're normal.
Yeah, and then you say, mine's not. Let me change that.
Yeah, you should emulate that, yeah. I bet 5 cents he doesn't do that.
No. So Danny, during this time, also really struggled to keep jobs. So he would, you know, get hired for 2 weeks, then he'd be fired, which would piss him off. So then he'd go peep on people even more because he's mad. But on November 4th, 1989, Danny was fired from a local restaurant called Poncho's and was like, super pissed.
Okay.
And like many other psychopaths and serial killers, Danny decided to take his anger out on someone else.
Okay.
2 days after he was fired, Danny rode his bike to the Grissom home around 10 p.m. Tom, the father/grandfather, was an AT&T supervisor and was described as polite, friendly, and had been actually battling throat cancer for years.
Great.
He was nearing retirement and was said to have been extremely excited to spend the rest of his time with his family.
Great.
His daughter, Julie, was 24 years old and was a petite brunette, which he likes the brunettes.
Oh, yeah.
Was studying marketing at the Louisiana State University of Shreveport while working part-time at the local Dillard's. So she's like a hard worker. Going to school and working, like, that's fucking hard, and I can tell you from experience.
Yeah, it is. School full-time and then working part-time.
That's hard, too.
Yeah.
So Julie was actually just months away from her graduation.
Oh, great.
Sean was a third grader at Turner Elementary, and he was visiting Tom, who was his grandfather, and Julie, who was his aunt, for the night and was supposed to return home on Monday, November 6th, but never did. Yeah.
Super.
And I do just want to say that I've seen conflicting reports. Like, some say that Sean was Julie's child, but I went with what was most prevalent, and that it was her nephew.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't feel like she's going to school full-time and working part-time and has a 3-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's why I went with what was most prevalent, like the storyline that I saw the most.
Back then, in those times, I don't think that would happen. Not to say that someone couldn't do it, but just for that time.
So around 8:30 on Monday, Sean's mother called the police after learning that Sean was not at school and no one from the Grissom home was answering her phone calls.
Okay, well, that's a terrible day.
So the police reached out to the neighbors, asking them to see if the residence was unlocked. At approximately 8:45, so just 15 minutes after Sean's mother called the police, three neighbors went over to the home to check on the family.
Okay.
They opened the door to the utility room off the garage, and that's where they discovered Tom's body. He was slouched against the wall in the room and had been stabbed in the right kidney and in the heart.
Oh.
Sean, the young boy, was found lying on the living room floor, having bled to death from one knife wound to his back that exited through his chest.
Oh, God.
Lastly, Julie was discovered. Like yeah. Lastly, Julie was discovered in the master bedroom, naked and partially hanging off the bed. She had been raped multiple times, had vinegar poured all over her body, but obviously a particular focus to her vagina, and she was posed spread eagle facing the door with like her legs hanging down so that her hips were right on the edge of the bed, and her hair was carefully fanned out on the bed above her. She had clear adhesive tape marks like restraints on her body, and there were bite marks on her breast.
Okay.
So following the discovery of the bodies, the police were dumbfounded. There was no sign of robbery, no forced entry. There was small signs of a struggle, but they described the overall scene as being, quote, neat.
Neat.
Police had very few leads over the years, but ultimately nothing panned out, and this case actually remained unsolved until 2006 when Danny Rawlings admitted to the Grissom murders shortly before his execution.
Oh my God. How much force does it take to shove a knife through a whole body?
Through someone's chest. Oh my God.
That takes a lot, and I'm not going to touch on the girl. I don't...
So Danny revealed that he had, like, he revealed that he had entered the home through the back door, which had been left open because Tom was grilling in the backyard and had forgotten to lock it.
That is so very scream of you.
When inside, Danny instructed all three to lay on the living room floor, where he bound their hands with duct tape behind their backs and taped their mouths. Danny took Tom into the utility room where he stabbed him in the kidney from behind and the heart from in front. He came back into the living room and stabbed Sean as he lay on the ground next to Julie.
Okay.
He then took Julie into the bathroom where he raped her multiple times before taking her into the bedroom where he raped her again, stabbed her, and then posed her body. After the family was annihilated, Danny cleaned his clothes in their washing machine, ate some of the food from their fridge, and removed all of the duct tape that he'd used to bind the family before leaving. So obviously he knows a little bit about DNA, even though, you know, it's like early, it's 89, but he still knew enough to take the tape. And I'm not sure if that comes from like his father being a cop or if Danny just knew that.
Okay, but... he still raped a girl, so.
Yeah, so obviously he's not that fucking smart. Well, I mean, maybe he is that fucking smart because the police were like, la-di-da-di-da.
Wow, okay.
Just 1 month after slaughtering the entire Grissom family, Danny broke into another home where he'd previously watched a woman undress. Okay. Thankfully, no one was home, so Danny decided that he would wait for her return.
Great.
While he was waiting, he watched television, listened to her stereo, and drank just alcohol relax, in her home. Bud. Right? Yeah. Yeah, let's just take a load off.
Wait for Linda to come back. It's fine. She's expecting you.
Well, luckily, Linda never came home.
Good.
So Danny ended up stealing about $30 worth of dimes, a bunch of alcohol, and a .38 revolver.
$30 worth of dimes?
Uh-huh. Was it worth it, my guy?
That's so heavy.
So Danny managed to keep his urges under control for a couple of months until May of 1990. On May 2nd, 1990, James and Danny had been arguing all day. Both men actually ended up pulling their guns on each other and firing several warning shots at each other.
doesn't surprise me.
James declared that he was going to end it all for good and kill the whole fucking family.
You know what?
Please, just do it.
You probably should have, James, a long time ago.
But instead of killing them, he decided that he would just lock himself in the kitchen.
I feel bad for the mom and Kevin, though.
Right? Danny, still pissed, broke the door down and shot his father twice. Once in the stomach and once right between the eyes. Claudia came in and found her son kicking her husband's body while screaming, quote, "Father, forgive me."
Oh, God. Which one?
Yeah, which
your
father?
Your actual dad or your religious dad? Like,
yeah.
Which one?
Danny then ran out of the home into the woods to escape and was never seen again in Shreveport. Miraculously, though, James did not die, but he lost sight in this one eye and an entire ear.
Shot in the head, and he still won't go. He...
And he's a horrible human. Like, that's my thing.
That's why I'm saying.
Yeah. Good people get shot, and they don't survive that. But this fucking monstrous human being survived.
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah.
What kind of sick twist of fate is that? And that's why I don't believe in God, ladies and gentlemen. No. It's one of the reasons.
You thought this was about a serial killer, but really, this is Mariah's take on religion.
Exactly. Danny left for good that night, and he began another string of robberies.
Okay.
He robbed a Westwood United Superstore, where he got away with about $1,600. He was videotaped by the security cameras telling the people, quote, "Thank you. God bless. Pray for me. God knows I need it," end quote.
You sure do.
2 weeks later, though, he returned to the same fucking store where he made off with just over $2,000.
You don't hit the same place twice.
Right. And that just shows, like, how erratic he is.
Yeah.
He then broke into the home of Michael Kennedy and stole 2 handguns and the ID of a deceased man who was also named Michael Kennedy Jr. So probably like this guy's son or something.
A Kennedy?
Yeah. Just kidding. Well, more onto their curse. Danny then moved to Sarasota, Florida, where he became Michael Kennedy. He would tell anyone and everyone that would listen to him about the fact that he was a Vietnam War veteran, you know, like saved the U.S.
Not something to brag about.
Yeah, where he'd saved the U.S., which, like, you were dishonorably discharged and you never saw a moment of war, so, like, fuck off.
But also, I get, you know, that a lot of people were drafted to the Vietnam War, but I wouldn't say you saved the U.S. I'd say you shamed the U.S.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He would tell them that he owned a trucking company out of Kansas City, Missouri, what, and that he was a successful musician.
I bet.
So a week before the horrendous killing spree in Gainesville, Florida, that would give Danny his name, the Gainesville Ripper, he recorded himself in a motel room where he explained what he was about to do and was already apologizing. He apologized to his family, to his friends, to the future victims, all while explaining how great his family is.
Were you aware of your childhood?
Which, you know, goes to show how he sides with his father throughout all of this. Danny played, like, fucking an hour worth of his loser music with the guitar.
His loser music.
And that same night, Danny actually pawned his guitar and bought a 9mm semi-automatic handgun. And by August 18th, Danny left Sarasota, Florida, and arrived in Gainesville. And this is where we will pick up next week on our series of the Gainesville Ripper.
Well, that was delightful. Thank you. I am not at all dreading the next one.
I'm not triggered at all. are you looking at photos of him?
No, I was trying to find his music.
Oh, well, it fucking sucks. So, but yeah, I'll be sure to, like, I should have done it this episode, but next episode I'll find his music and then we'll get your live reaction. Look up his photo. He just looks like a generic white guy. Like, I'm serious. If I saw him in the grocery store, I'd be like, that dude's a loser. And then I'd move on.
He looks like a dad.
Right? Just like he should have those, like, old-ass Nikes on and shit.
Or New Balance with the
tube socks. Oh, yeah, New Balance. Yeah. But the socks that go up to your calves.
Yeah, when he gets older, he just looks like a dad.
Yeah, just a generic white dude who
is
stupid.
Yeah, in his older photos, though, when he looks like a dad, he looks nice.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't at all picture him to be a serial killer.
Exactly. Like I said, if I saw him in a grocery store, I'd be like, wow, I bet that dude's life is really fucking boring. And then I move on.
But I do kind of get the ghost face mask.
Yeah, his droopy eyes.
Yeah.
He has those droopy eyes, which is weird because Ghostface also has droopy eyes.
And I think that was like done on purpose.
Oh, yeah. But that wraps up episode one for us. And we do have to say that when this episode comes out, it will finally be December. Yeah, we're coming up on the last month of 2021. So I hope everyone has their goals ready. I hope everyone met their 2020 goals, had a great Thanksgiving. So yeah, if that one wasn't a doozy enough for you, next week is even worse.
Okay. I am going to be sick.
Kayla loves it and she's looking forward to it. So we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.